Hello and welcome to Teen Health Matters. This podcast and associated website is a project of the Howard County Health Department and is designed to connect you, your friends, your parents, and the people who care about you to the resources you need to stay safe, happy, and healthy. Hi, my name is Greta Michaels and I am a senior at Mount Hebron.
My name is Carrie Silverstein and I'm a senior at Athelton High School.
I'm Megan Liu and I go to River Hill High School.
My name is Zafir Nassim and I'm a senior at Reservoir High School.
We are all peer leaders of Sources of Strength and interns at the Howard County Health Department under the Bureau of Behavioral Health.
And today we'll be talking about conversations pertaining to mental health with a parent or trusted adult. We will discuss ways to go about this in a healthy and effective manner.
I think everyone can agree that having a conversation with parents about your mental health is kind of difficult, and sort of coming up with something to start the conversation can also be difficult. You always want to start off the conversation about, you know, mental health with parents and, you know, by sharing your own experiences with your parents and trying to get them in a soft place where you guys can discuss together tough things. It's also really important to sort of get them in a certain space where they can, you know, listen to you completely. You know, it's like, hey, mom, you know, I really need to talk to you. Do you guys want to, like, sit down in the living room? You know, we can get started on this. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to sort of establish the empathy between, you and your parent. And I think we all know that, you know, having a discussion about mental health is uncomfortable, but it's really important to have these discussions because just as how physical health is important, mental health is important. Because when you're hurting inside on your body or somewhere, it hurts, and just as your mental health hurts. So it's really important to get it out there and receive the treatment that's necessary.
Personally, my parents aren't very closed off to the conversation of mental health, so I've never really had that kind of issue. But I think for everybody, it kind of is nerve-wracking coming to somebody, whether they're your parent or not, to talk about your feelings, because just socially, it's stigmatized to be uncomfortable to talk about that. And so I think it's important to have the conversation with your parents because they are people who care about you and try and make it not so stressful and uncomfortable. But I do have friends who maybe their parents don't like to talk about mental health because culturally that's like something that's shameful, or just their personal opinion, they don't feel comfortable talking about it. And I think it makes things that much harder for that person, because if you don't have your parents, the people who love and care about you, on your side and willing to listen to you and hear about your mental health, it makes for an uncomfortable and maybe like not so safe feeling home environment. Don't really know if that makes sense, but yeah
I agree. My parents are also very open to the conversation. They're both doctors, so they understand the importance of health very well. But I do know people whose parents are kind of closed off to it, or they don't think that their parents will believe them or take them seriously. But I think the important thing is if you get the conversation going and you're like serious about it, and you really just like tell them exactly how you feel and be really specific, I think they'll take you seriously. And if they don't, you could always talk to your friends or another trusted adult. They are not the only people you can talk to. You have other outlets. So, yeah.
I know for my parents are immigrants, and I know there's a tendency for immigrant parents to kind of expect the most out of their children. And a lot of times mental health tends to get disregarded because on the outside, test scores are great. Like, everything is going well. It seems like you have friends. It seems like you're doing well in all your sports and your extracurriculars and stuff like that. And I think it's important, especially with parents who come from different countries, it's important to kind of get that conversation started and be like, mental health is important. And even though you might see me doing all these things and expecting all these things from me, it's important for me to talk to you about how I'm feeling and what that entails, like, and how you can do your part to provide for me, I guess.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Greta's saying. You know, my parents are also immigrants, so they don't exactly see mental health as like a lot of other people that really are working in the health profession. Right. And like, I remember sometimes when I'm doing my work and I really want to take a break, you know, I just say, like, mom, dad, can I go and like play on the Xbox? Can I go walk outside? And sometimes there's that tendency to always like keep doing your work. And it's really important to sometimes take a break, because when you take a break, your just mind relaxes. It's really nice to have a breather from time to time. And I think it's like part of human nature. I think we can all agree to that, is that, you know, having that ability to just take a break is really important to just our mind, body, and just reduce the stress a lot. And it's really important to get that point across, I guess, to our parents. And I think it's like our parents do push us a lot, but it's really important to sort of take a step back. So.
And I know that, I guess, in my culture, like a lot of people, or at least in, I guess, Chinese communities, like everybody talks and is a lot of like kind of gossip about like mental health and how all these things are going. And I think it's important to establish that mental health is something that should be talked about rather than kind of gossiped about.
Yeah, I have friends who have immigrant parents, and I've heard stories of how they'll like want to take a break, like you're saying, Zafir, or they will be like extremely overwhelmed taking multiple AP classes or working really hard for the SATs or AP tests. And I know that they've told me, like, I wish I could just take a break and not have to worry about it. But their parents, like, do push them harder than other parents. And so I think it's especially important to have a conversation with immigrant parents because, as you were saying, Megan, yeah, it definitely is culturally, like, shamed upon, I guess. So some tips on approaching a conversation about mental health with your parents is to find a quiet and safe place to sit and talk, if that's your living room or the kitchen or just going out for like coffee or something. Make an effort to stay calm, mature, respectful, and serious while talking. You don't want to joke about what you're talking about because mental health is very serious, but also keep the conversation as light as possible because you don't want to feel uncomfortable or feel like you can't say certain things around them. Also, talk about how you are feeling and then allow them to respond and vice versa. Talking over each other does not create effective communication at all. If you are talking about how you're feeling and your parent cuts you off and maybe tells you that's wrong or I don't want to hear that, obviously that doesn't make you feel good. And it wouldn't make your parent feel good either if when they're trying to explain how they're feeling, if you cut them off and don't want to listen to what they're saying, nobody's opinion can really get across.
I think it's important to keep in mind that if you're dealing with something, I feel like that's more so like you know the full extent of it, and that's something more so on the inside. Like if you break your arm, it's pretty obvious your arm is broken. But I don't know, your parents might not know everything that's going on, so I think you just need to explain to them everything and be honest with them, and hopefully they'll listen.
Yeah, is there kind of for all of you guys like an ideal kind of reaction that you think your parents, I guess, or most parents should have when kind of hearing about their kids' mental health?
I think just being able to listen and be accepting and not kind of making you feel like you did something wrong or that you're abnormal or something like that. I think just being able to talk like it's any other conversation.
Yeah, like building upon Greta's point, I think it's fairly important that we all sort of respect where everyone's coming from when you're talking about really sensitive things like this. I know, for example, like a lot of my friends, when they try to sit down with their parents to, you know, talk through some of the problems they're going through, there really isn't like that sort of respect for each other's situation. And I think when people can respect, you know, what other people are feeling and really like empathize with them, then only can there be a really good conversation held.
And like what Carrie was talking about, how you only really know how you're feeling. I think if you're talking to your parents and you're saying, oh, I've been feeling anxious lately, if they try and kind of brush that off and be like, oh, well, you know, you can be anxious here and there, but you have to really be able to explain, like, no, I've been feeling anxious, like, right, for this amount of hours every single day. This is what it feels like. Maybe, like, my heart is racing or it's hard for me to breathe or different things like that. Don't just, like, kind of lightly touch on the topic. Like, you really have to explain how you're feeling for them to understand.
So I wanted to bring up the question to you guys. So how do you guys specifically, you know, reach out to your parents? How do you guys carry out the conversation?
Well, personally, I think that everyone kind of looks for something different when they talk to their parents. I think it kind of depends on the severity or the frequency. So for me, when I just talk to my parents, it'll be during a time of like stressful tests or like when I was taking the ACT, like when a lot's going on. And for me, I just want someone to listen and to like give their input and like give some advice. But other people may be looking for other things. Like other people may be seeking help or something a little bit more severe. But personally, I just need someone to listen. And I think my parents are really, really good at that.
For me, my parents are like my best friends. Like I'm really Aww. Close with them, and I don't really need to. I'm like fortunate for this. I don't really need to kind of make it like a big deal and be like, hey, can I talk to you guys right now or something like that, and kind of like work in a time to talk with them. I kind of just can be like, just bring it up normally like it's anything else and we can just talk about it. Like it's not anything that I really have to stress over or anything like that. And I really am thankful for that because I know like many of my friends don't have that kind of relationship with their parents. So it's definitely not a very hard thing for me to talk about with them because of that.
Yeah, I know for me, it's just a little bit more difficult, not mostly because my parents, but mostly because I'm just a relatively introverted person and I don't like to talk about my feelings or what's going on in my life just because I feel like it kind of pertains to me and not anybody else. But I've kind of with my parents' help, I've been learning to kind of express my feelings a lot more and talk to them if I'm going through something that's difficult. Because for me now, when there's something that's kind of hard that's going on in my life, it's a lot better for my mental health and kind of my physical health as well to kind of just tell that to somebody and have them kind of maybe even give their opinion or kind of have them be there for me.
Yeah, so conversations about, you know, your mental health can be really fruitful. But I think it's really important to also bring up, you know, what if your parents react negatively to this? So there are a couple of like tips that we compiled. It's really important that you always try to clarify what you're talking about in the conversation, specifically if they're like not like specific terms, but if there are things that you said that might need clarification or they're really vague, like specifically like, you know, what caused your emotion, like what caused you to feel sad. It's really important to explain those two couple things. So what if your parents just, you know, aren't really open to listening to what you're saying? I know that this happens to a lot of people. It's really important to reach out to those that are positive influences in your life, whether it's a trusted adult, your favorite teacher. I know for me, my science teacher, like I go to her all the time. Whoever it may be, I think it's really important to reach out to the adult that can help you do this. And then it's also really advisable to reach out to a therapist or somebody like that who can then talk to your parents about the importance of why it's really important to have these kind of conversations with your kids and all that kind of stuff.
Going off of what Safira was saying, I think if your parents do react negatively, it's nice to have another adult who can act as kind of a mediator, whether that be a therapist and you bring them into one of your sessions or something like that, or just like your science teacher, another trusted adult, have like a meeting with your parents and them so that you feel like you have somebody on your side there to kind of vouch for you.
Yeah, other alternatives you can use are some hotlines and resources that we have. So there's the Grassroots Crisis Intervention. It's a 24/7 call and walk-in counseling. The number is 410-531-6677, and the text line is 741-741. And then the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK, which is 8255. And you can find these numbers online or just by looking up the name of the organization.
Yeah, and actually, I just wanted to bring kind of this back to kind of, I think maybe what Greta and Safira were both saying a little bit, but I know that for us, we all do live in Howard County, and I know in a lot of times, parents will react, whether it's ours or somebody else's, parents will say, like, I kind of sacrificed all of this for you to have an education in Howard County to provide for you. And, like, if you're going to disappoint me or something like that, that's kind of not what we're expecting. And I think it's important for you to establish the fact that, like, I'm trying my best. And
you're not perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, like, building upon that point, I think, like, if it gets to the point that, you know, it's really impulsive and you don't know exactly what to do in the situation, it's really important for a friend of yours or even a trusted adult to go ahead and give a call to some of the resources that Carrie mentioned. Because, like, you too can also call these resources, but, like, your friends and your peers can do it for you on your behalf. And then it can ensure that you guys are, receiving the resources and the help that you need in these situations.
Yeah, it's important not to keep anything in because there are resources everywhere. Like, you're never alone. So it definitely is important to reach out if you are feeling upset or anxious or anything of that sort.
Yeah. In all of Carrie's kind of like the hotlines and what she mentioned, like there will always be people who will listen to you. And I think that's important.
Yeah, of course.
I guess we can move on to our next point, which is how can I assure myself that my parents won't react negatively or kind of prevent this negative reaction that's kind of like associated with the stigma of mental health. And first of all, encourage them to attend mental health awareness and education programs, because if they're educated and you're educated, kind of the conversation will be better in general. And kind of examples we kind of thought up were Talk Save Lives, QPR, Youth Mental Health First Aid, and other similar sessions in the county. I'm not sure if any of you have experience with any of those.
Yeah, all these services are offered by the health department, so you guys can always stop in at the health department and ask about these, you know, programs and make sure that you're enrolled.
Probably on the website as well.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is be a mental health advocate in your own home. And so it can be your job to educate your parents a little more about mental health and kind of your siblings and anybody else, maybe grandparents, aunts, uncles, in your household about mental health, because I know that all of us talk about mental health daily, in schools and it's very comfortable for us, but for maybe some families, it might not be. So,
yeah, I think this point is extremely important because sometimes you can talk yourself out of even having the conversation because of the fear that they will react negatively, even though that might not even be the case. Just like the idea swelling up in your head and going over the situation, you can like subconsciously like talk yourself out of even having the conversation. I think what Megan was saying with being a mental health advocate in your own home is important because I think it tends to be that in older generations, they kind of fear what they don't know, really.
Yes.
So if they're not educated on something, they can become very closed off to it and kind of fear it or like stigmatize it. So I think it is extremely important to talk about it because they're going to be less and less opposed to it if they know more about it.
So building upon that, that point that you just made, so how would we approach, you know, educating like our family members in our own home on mental health if we already know that they sort of have like the stigmatized like sense to mental health, as well as like, you know, you've already tried to have a conversation with your parents and they just weren't able to listen to you or they just did not give you the attention that you felt that you deserved?
Personally, I think what I would do is educate myself on it. I don't like really suggest self-diagnosing yourself, but no. Just educating yourself on what's going on. And then kind of expressing that to your parents. I think your parents will take you a lot more seriously if you're educated about it and you're taking it seriously. So I think that's what I would do.
Yeah. And again, like just bringing in maybe a third party who is educated on it. Like you could maybe have a mental health professional talk to them, or maybe just even the guidance counselor at your school. Like someone who knows what they're talking about so they can see like, oh, this is a reliable source that I'm hearing this from.
And I know that in health classes, at least my teacher suggested that sometimes it might be good to gauge your parents' reaction about kind of this sort of thing. And so I know my health teacher suggested that if really need be, kind of maybe you can talk in a hypothetical, maybe even involve your friend or somebody else and see how your parents will kind of react to that. And I think that's an interesting approach, and it might work for some parents and it might not for others.
Yeah, like start light and then go in deeper.
Yeah, that's a good idea, saying, oh, I need to talk to you. My friend came to me saying that they've been feeling this way and want to talk to their parents. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. So it's not directly yourself, but you're still kind of getting the answer that you're looking for.
Yeah, and you're getting the conversation going.
Yeah.
And you're contributing to making the greater human community, I guess, connected.
Yeah.
So I guess going off of that, for us, we don't really know how our parents will react, but the conversation will never get started if we just kind of don't talk about it in the first place. So having an honest conversation about mental health is the first step in decreasing stigma and, I guess, being able to seek help about mental health for both yourself and others.
I think it's really important to understand that you guys are not alone. I think everyone goes through this process. Everyone will go through stress at one point because we're all human. This is just a part of our human condition. Everyone goes through it. And I think it's really important to understand that other people around you have been through it. Reach out to them. Reach out to your best friend that you go for softball practice with. Ask them, like, hey, have you been in this situation? What would you advise me to do? I think it's really important to understand that there are other people out there that have experienced this and have gone through the really complex, nitty-gritty bits of it. I think it's really important to get sort of the tips that they have. It's also really important to not keep it in. Always utilize the resources that are available for you. In Howard County, there are a wealth of resources available for individuals that are seeking help with their mental health and their emotions and really staying stable. Some of the resources that we did mention before, it's really important to reach out to like Grassroots Crisis Line, even if it's yourself or on behalf of your friend, or even just talking to a trusted adult or a trusted person that you trust in your life.
Another thing that I think is important to mention is that adults and teens all experience very different stressors. So while you're all experiencing stress, while you're all experiencing different things that stress you out, you all are still experiencing stress. Whether, like, for you it might be grades or a test that's coming up or trying to make friends or something like that. For adults, it could be like bills or what's going on at work or different things. So I think you could also approach the conversation like that with your parents and just saying like, I understand that we're both going through stress. Why don't we just talk about that? So you can both kind of be like humanized and realize like this happens to everyone and it's not a thing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, it's really easy to kind of just assume that you're the only one feeling this way, but everyone's going through their own thing, big or small, and like different stuff going on in their lives. And I think that's important to keep in mind.
Yeah, I think there's always the response that, like, oh, you wouldn't understand. But mm-hmm. I think in reality, if you kind of start get the conversation started, you and your parent or you and a guardian or teacher really do have a lot more in common than I think you initially think you do.
Yeah, like, you won't believe the kind of stuff that comes out of just sitting down and having a conversation with somebody. There's so many things that you can learn, and even just learning that, oh, they've also been through this.
Yeah. So I know that we brought up the conversation of how physical health and mental health are seen very differently earlier in the podcast, but I'd like to bring that back up. Earlier, we were discussing that physical health, when you think of that, you think of exercising and running and eating right. And you know that everybody has physical health, whether that be poor or bad physical health, everybody has it. And the same thing is for mental health. But when somebody says the word mental health, you immediately think depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, eating disorders, all negative illnesses, essentially. But really, everybody has mental health. You could have good mental health or bad mental health, but it's there for everyone. And I think it's extremely important to kind of begin to get rid of the stigma that surrounds that, that is so negative, because saying the word mental health doesn't mean that something's wrong. Everybody has it, and we all need to be able to take care of it.
Yeah, I believe if you have something going on or you don't, you still should be taking care of your mental health, whether that just be like taking an easy day if you've been like running around doing a lot, and just making sure that's just as important as your physical health, because those two are pretty hand in hand. They affect each other. So I think it's important to take care of both.
Yeah, I think this kind of is related to what Carrie and Greta were saying before, but I heard somewhere that somebody was saying, we think that happiness is the default, and when somebody is sad or when somebody looks angry, we kind of try everything in our power to make it so they're happy again or content again. And I think it's important to say that having a healthy mental health is not necessarily about being happy all the time. It's kind of being able to control or experience all the different emotions and having the resources to having the resources to be able to address all of them in a kind of healthy way and in a way that kind of benefits you and the people around you.
Yeah, I think it's about really maintaining like a balance of lifestyle. As like Carrie and Greta mentioned earlier, it's about like making sure that you take the day off, making sure that you go with friends to like the movie theaters or whatnot. Then it's also like, you know, when you're experiencing the stress of like, you know, homework or whatnot, you know it's time to take a step back, maybe go like wash your face, maybe go eat some food or something. That's what I do. it's about maintaining the balance.
I think like people should know that it's okay to not be okay.
Yes.
Like if you had a hard day and you're crying, that is okay. And that is true emotion. And I think that people shouldn't make you feel bad for being upset about something or angry about something. That's your emotion. And I think it's better to just release it in a healthy way instead of trying to like bottle it up, because then I feel like that might explode.
Yeah, I think we can all admit that keeping things on our chest, like inside, kind of hurts.
Yes.
And I think it's really important to relieve it out there, because then only does it help others see where you're coming from. Then only can others help you in a much, you know, can approach you to help you. Because if you're not going to make it known that, hey, you know, I'm not really feeling that good right now, I need some help, nobody's going to help you. Nobody knows what's in your brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to make sure that everyone around you knows that.
Yeah, like we were talking about how, I mean, you have, I guess, yearly, monthly checkups at the doctor's appointment, and that's always for your physical health, like how's your breathing, how's your heart rate, different things like that. But you don't have any checkups like that for mental health. And I mean, you start having those doctor's appointment checkups since you're born. So like, why don't they also tie that in with mental health and also check up on that or ask you how you're feeling instead of like how you're physically doing? Because as Carrie was saying, those things do really go hand in hand. And I've like watched a bunch of documentaries where people have like been very like physically unhealthy and then have gone to like being super fit and active and exercising, and almost every single time they say that their physical health declined because their mental health was bad. And so I think by taking care of your mental health, you're automatically like positively affecting your physical health as well.
Yeah, and I think it's important to say that like, I guess experiencing rejection and kind of failure, both physically and mentally, is normal. Mm-hmm. And it's important to be able to deal with that in a healthy way. And especially since we're teens right now, having our parents with us there, kind of experiencing it with us. I know all of us are seniors, probably going through the college application process, kind of dealing with that failure with somebody to be there with you is very important. And when we're, I guess, older and all out there on our own, some things that our parents taught us may carry over to how we treat failures and setbacks in the future.
I think Megan brought up a really important point, is to always have somebody by your side to go through the tearful moments, to go through the most joyous of moments. And it's really when we're connected with one another, when we have positive influences around there, when we know that there's somebody that we can lean back on in times of joy, in times of sadness, it really allows us to maintain our mental state and really be in a good spot.
Yeah, I have established this with my close friends that we will just tell each other everything. We are so comfortable talking about our feelings and like things going on. Like if we're having a hard day, we'll like tell each other and we're there for each other. So I think just like finding your people you're comfortable with and people you can just tell them anything, that's really important. And I think it's important to have that relationship with your parents too, as well as your friends.
Yeah, I think anybody who knows you very well should be able to talk to them about how you're feeling, because we all need those people to check in on us, whether it's like every day or just every once in a while. Like I have friends who I don't go to school with, but I have just like been close friends with for years, and I'll like text them every once in a while and just see how they're doing. And I think like that probably means a lot, because even though I don't see them every day, they still know like that I'm thinking about them and checking in on them. And then the friends that I do see every day, like we check in on each other as well. So I think it's important to just kind of reach out to everybody here and there, because everybody needs that sometime.
Yeah, and especially siblings too. Yes. I know we overthink it a lot, because they're always there and they're kind of constantly annoying us. But
yeah,
I guess really when you think about it, they're there with you, I guess, throughout kind of everyday life. And sometimes they experience things that you do as well.
Yeah, my little brother, actually, he's in sixth grade. And a couple days ago, he actually came up to me and he closed my bedroom door. And he's like, "Greta, I need to talk to you. I can't talk to mom and dad about this." And I'm like, "Okay, sit down." Like, it is important to check in on your siblings, like, especially when they're younger than you, I think, because like they're, you have to think like when you were their age, you were going through all the same things they're going through now. And it is hard, especially middle school, definitely yes. Hard, because you're going through that big change. And I think like being there for your siblings really means a lot, because when they're younger than you, they definitely do look up to you, and it's important to be there and just kind of let them know, like, I got your back.
Yeah, some of my like best advice and like what really got me through high school were my two older brothers. They just like know you on a different level, and they can relate to you in ways that your friends couldn't.
Yeah, because I think your siblings really see you at your like best and worst times, so yeah, they know yeah. like where you're coming from and kind of how you think.
So a lot of good points were made, and I'm really happy with where the conversation has gone. So do we want to go back and recap some of the things that we talked about?
Sure, sounds good. I think some of our main points here that we'd like you to take away from this were that if your parents don't react well to the conversation of mental health, you have a bunch of other resources that you can go to. It's important to try and take the first step in decreasing the stigma and being able to seek help when you need it. You're not alone, and don't keep anything in, because there are resources all around you. Please follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram is HocoStrength, and we also have a Teen Health Matters Instagram, which is Teen Health Matters, and then there's an underscore at the end. You can also learn more on our website, which is teenhealthmatters.org. And we'd like to end this podcast with our self-care send-off, with how we will take care of our mental health in this upcoming week. I personally will be taking care of my mental health by spending time with my family and friends over the weekend to kind of relax and de-stress, because this is like my first full week of school in a while. Right. So I'm really going to need some time to recoup.
Yeah, this week I'm going to be going outside, because the weather's been so nice recently.
Really has, yeah.
And just hanging out with friends and being involved in my school.
Yeah, for me, I think I'm going to be doing some art, probably, because I do that when I'm stressed and also when I'm not stressed. I don't know. And probably watching TV, because that's what I do
yeah.
a lot.
Me too.
I'm going to make sure I go camping.
Like this weekend?
I'm going to make sure that happens. Just,
okay.
Good. And you can tell us about it next week.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Everything. We want to hear it all.
Yeah. Mental health, no camping.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. We hope you enjoy. See you next time.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.